The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. Well, before we knew Orphan Black, Trisha Helfer was doing the multi-clone role and doing it very well. We talked to her about her days as Cylon number 6 and her new role on Powers. Plus, Brandon Stacey's picked up a number of roles over the summer, including those in Roots, The Big Short, and as Mr. Spock in the Star Trek web series. And he's got more on the way. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
We first became aware of actress Trisha Helfer back in the days of Battlestar Galactica and her lead performance as the humanoid Cylon number 6. But since then, there's been a lot added to Trisha's acting resume, including a new role on the series Powers. I talked to her about that and asked her where she fits in.
Well, Powers is it's based off of a graphic novel by the same name, and it is basically, in a nutshell, it's about this police precinct that is set up to govern powers, basically. It's a world where their powers are they're the norm. Not everybody has them, and not everybody uses them for good, you know, but there's different levels of power. So there's people with just, you know, oh, they can slightly fly, or then, you know, up to the retro girls and super shocks that you know, are more along the lines of, you know, the Supermans, and, you know, they help take care of, make sure that there's peace in the world and all that type of thing. And Christian Walker was one of the top powers, Diamond, and he lost his powers, and now he is, you know, I think the first season dealt a little bit more with him coming to terms with now being, you know, just a normal human being, and being mortal, but also now he's in charge of policing the powers and trying to keep a peace between between the powers themselves and between people. So, and it's sort of in a world where the powers are what I guess we would call our celebrities and sports stars in our world, where they're admired, but easy to be judged, and they're the ones with the marketing deals and the sponsorships and everything, and they have agents, and so it's a kind of a fun take on that. And my character, Special Agent, FBI Special Agent Lang, comes in the second season, because at the end of the first season, there's the death of Retro Girl. Retro Girl, who's the, you know, the epitome of the, you know, the top power, and she's murdered. So it's really, you know, the city's in turmoil, and my character comes in to try and get a handle on the situation and help solve the case. But also, there's a little bit of history with Walker and a little bit that she's holding back. So throughout the first few episodes, that starts to unravel.
So is this an original character to the Powers universe?
You know, Lang was in, I have not read all of the entire series, but Lang was in the original, but wasn't one of the, you know, wasn't Christian Walker or Dina Pilgrim, or wasn't one of the main characters, I don't think. But definitely there was, she does make an appearance in the original. But I think that they've changed her to some extent for the TV show.
What drew her to this role?
You know, I liked the world that it was in, and I do have to kind of admit a little funny coincidence. The first two episodes, when they sent it to me to read, I'm like, okay, she's FBI agent. You know, there's something, there's some history. I can see there's some history with Walker, but I don't know what's going on, really. And when I was talking to the showrunner, Remy, he said, okay, well, by the fourth episode, we discover that you were actually a power. And I went, oh, tell me more. And so the fourth episode actually was released last week, so you can see it on PlayStation currently. And you finally find out a little bit more about Agent Lang, or her kind of alter ego, Lynx. So she turns into a bit of a cat. And yes, and I'm a self-admitted crazy cat lady. So I have quite a few cats myself, and cat print, paw prints, tattoos on my ankles and stuff. So it was just very fun for me to then go, oh, I get to play a cat in an episode. How fun.
You know, when you stop and think about it, Trisha was doing the multiple clone thing well before the days of Orphan Black, and doing it pretty well, too. I ask her how she manages to find roles that give her a chance to make a serious mark in front of the camera.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's very, very kind. I think when I'm looking at a character in a project, it's, I want to, obviously you want to have something that you can kind of sink your teeth into and be more than just, something that's one note and doesn't really pop off the page, so to speak. But I think quite often I play what is thought of as, a bad role, an evil character or something like that. And I think I always try and find, you can't just think of yourself as bad or,
Right.
I always try and find the humanity in the person and find what makes this character tick. And so I think like with Battlestar on the page, and especially from the beginning, she was really the only known Cylon that you knew of in the miniseries, as opposed to the other ones that you discovered along the way. But she was written pretty evil, but I wanted to find a humanity to her, and I wanted to find a vulnerability to her. And I think that's what I tried to bring, and what some people were maybe surprised of with the character. They didn't think that they would find themselves feeling, bad or feeling sorry for somebody that was, in charge of possibly a lot of genocide.
Right.
And I think that's with Lang as well, with Agent Lang, the first couple of episodes, she's pretty hard-edged agent and not very likable. And then by the fourth episode, you realize why she has a problem with Walker and why, because he double-crossed her and she feels not only slighted, but, he turned her in and she did prison time and everything. And so I wanted to try and find a vulnerability or a reason for the audience to then kind of understand from her point of view a little bit. Maybe not enough to want to root for her or whatever, but at least understand another side to her.
So any thoughts down the road about producing or directing?
I'm sure I will at some point. I'm definitely getting more into the producing realm. I've got a couple of projects that... couple of scripts currently that are out, and there's I've been taking meetings on and things. Both of these would be for me to be in them as well, which I think is the first logical way to get into the producing realm, as if it's something that you're passionate about and can be in as well. But definitely looking more to start producing more for sure. And directing, not yet. I feel like I've got a lot more to learn yet in this, in front of the camera and on the producing side of things before I jump into the directing, try and put that hat on. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a logical way to go at some point, but not yet.
Of all the roles she's done so far, is there any she'd like to go back and explore, just a little bit more?
Oh, absolutely. There's one in particular that comes to mind. I played Texas Ranger Molly Parker on an ABC show called Killer Women. And we only did one season, and it was just such a fun character to play. With a lot of stunts, a lot of action. But also she had she was a well-rounded character. I feel like I didn't get to play her enough. The show was just finding its feet, but in this day and age, it's hard to keep things going. But I felt like it was a show that was just starting to find its feet and get good and get more into character development of all the main characters and be less of the procedure of the week type thing. And I'd love to play that character again.
Online, there's been a lot of talk about Trisha teaming up with her bestie Katie Sackhoff and maybe a revival of Cagney and Lacey.
That would be so much fun. And somebody actually just brought it up on Twitter the other day, and we've talked about it before, that we'd love to do it. But I don't know if the rights are available, but it's something I should check into, because that would be fun.
See, Trisha's latest role in Power is available exclusively on the Sony PlayStation.
The Point Radio.
Clive Archer coming to San Diego. All that and more as we look at what's the latest in pop culture. Television series and an upcoming DVD release pretty much have a hold on the top 20 best-selling adult graphic novels in bookstores this month. When we look at the top five, we see Tokyo Ghoul from Viz Media, Volume 1 at number 5. Fight Club 2 from Dark Horse at number 4. At number 3, Preacher Book 1, more than likely in anticipation of more from the AMC TV series. Tokyo Ghoul back on the list again at Volume 7 and is the number 2 best-selling graphic novel. And at number 1, a 28-year-old product, The Batman The Killing Joke, the deluxe edition, more than likely in anticipation of the release of the direct-to-DVD feature, which is coming in just a couple of weeks. You'll have a chance to catch up on Supergirl over the summer. The CW is taking the series from CBS and will be rerunning the entire first season beginning the 1st of August, dovetailing right into the premiere of the second season on the CW, which is October the 2nd. All episodes air Monday at 8 o'clock. Baywatch is back, at least on television. The original episodes will all air this summer and beyond on Pop TV. The 176 original episodes of Baywatch were launched a couple of weeks back and will continue for the next few weeks. Of course, the new Baywatch movie is slated for next summer. The diversification wave in comics continues with a new female Invincible Iron Man that will debut in a few weeks. It is a series that spins out of the current existing Invincible Iron Man storyline. It'll be written by Brian Michael Bendis, and it'll have art by Stefano Caselli as well. The series is set to debut from Marvel in the fall. Our pre-show coverage of Comic-Con begins next week, but here's something you may want to get on right now. FX Networks is bringing a one-night-only performance of the touring show of Archer Live to San Diego. It'll take place aboard the Inspiration Hornblower yacht at the Fifth Avenue Landing, which is right behind the convention center, coming up on Thursday, July 22nd. There's lots of information about this out there, but I can tell you right now it's going to be a big deal with live entertainment, food, drinks, giveaways, a photo booth, and a lot more as well. Fans can register for tickets, which means you probably need to get on this as soon as possible. You can get those tickets at Eventbrite, Brite.com.
The Point.
From big Oscar-winning movies like The Big Short to television series like Roots to web projects like Star Trek The New Voyages, Brandon Stacey has one of the most versatile acting resumes out there, and I talked to him about how he got started.
Ever since I was a little boy and I saw my first film, I knew what I wanted to do. So fortunately, it's been easy in the sense that I never really had to think about what I wanted to do, you know. I never had to go back and forth between, you know, jobs or, I mean, of course that, but always, you know, I had the goal of what I wanted to do. It's been a one-way street.
So who were his inspirations?
Probably all of the Rebels from films. Some of the earliest inspirations had to have been like Marty McFly, you know, from Back to the Future, or James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause.
Star Trek The New Voyages brought Brandon on in one of the most iconic roles in science fiction, that being Mr. Spock. And I talked to him about how he created that role and what he took from those who'd played the part before him.
Well, it all starts with Leonard, obviously. There's certain marks you have to hit when you're doing an iconic role like that. You have to give the fans what they want and what they know from the character, what they expect. But certainly you have to add your own flavor to it. Or, you know, I wouldn't ever want to just try and, you know, copy somebody else. It's important for me to make my own discoveries about the character and kind of add my own shades of color to what they do. So, you know, my goal is just to do what I think is truthful to the character. And I think I add on some new layers and kind of do my own thing.
Brandon was also part of the revival of Roots this summer. What was that like?
It's amazing. It's amazing to be a part of something so huge. I mean, the original was groundbreaking, and this one is just as moving, just as powerful, and I think it's, you know, it's important to reach a new generation with this information, you know, with this story. There's a lot we can learn from the past. You know, it shapes who we are today, and certainly the more we know from history, the better we can shape the future if we actually do learn, you know.
His next project is a sci-fi series called Blade of Honor, and I asked him how he described that.
Super fun. It's a fantastic sci-fi original sci-fi series. So if you're a fan of sci-fi, this is going to be right up your alley. It's another kind of show that kind of comments on society and humanity, you know, kind of in the way that Star Trek does, but with more kind of action, maybe like a Battlestar Galactica. And we have some Battlestar and Star Trek actors involved. Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica and Tim Russ of Star Trek fame, and James Kyson from Heroes. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
So how does he go about choosing these roles?
I like to do things that are very different, you know, and kind of keep exploring into new territories and make new discoveries about characters and kind of explore into, you know, different maybe parts of myself that I haven't seen before, you know. So it keeps things interesting for me. I certainly enjoy, you know, doing new things. But obviously, if it's fun, and that could mean anything, you know, from comedy to sci-fi. I mean, I love film. I love cinema. I love all of it. You know, so intense, dramatic roles. It's something that I need to do. You know, fun like action stuff. You know, it's just another side of me, and certainly some of my comedy. I rarely get to show it, but there is a lot in there. There's a whole different version of me that I'd like to get out sometimes. But you know, I'm just one of those guys who just likes to do everything, and fortunately, I can.
Among everything he's done so far, is there any role he'd like to go back to and maybe add just a bit more to?
I'm kind of one of those people who thinks that there is always more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I could say that about any role. And certainly after the job is done, I'm still making new discoveries about that character. So I will say that Spock has been very rewarding for me because there are so many layers with him that people often don't see or, you know, don't know about him. I think that there's a lot you can do with that character in particular. And certainly my character on Roots, you know, I think he's got a lot of layers. Klingman is his name. You know, he's a product of his environment and all these traditions of the South, and so he really, you know, like all of us, what's around us and what we're taught shapes who we are. You know, so they're kind of our reasons to why we are the way we are, but it's kind of up to us to make those judgments on what is good for humanity. So I'd like to explore some more of that if I could.
Blade of Honor is set to debut soon on Sci-Fi, and you can see Brandon in the role of Mr. Spock on Star Trek The New Voyages at StarTrekTheNewVoyages.com. That's it for the podcast. We're back, though, in a very short time as we start our look at Comic-Con 2016. There's a lot to share, and we'll take you along for the ride, even if you manage to stay home the entire weekend. You'll be on the floor with us the whole time. This and more, you'll find all that on websites like comicmix.com, popcultureupload.com, getthepointradio.com, and trektvnews.com as well. Under Instagram, we're PC Upload. We're also PC Upload on Twitter, and we're Pop Culture Upload on Facebook. subscribe to the podcast, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory, and then be right back here in just a few days. Get the-